All right, Father, I just thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful people that are here with us, Lord. I know that you're doing a good work in all of us. I thank you, Lord, for imparting your spirit to all of us, filling us up with your spirit, Lord. And let tonight be a joyful night. Let it be a night of encouragement and one of camaraderie, one of friendship, one of love. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that I've got all these wonderful brothers and sisters here to speak with and talk with and learn from. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you anoint all of us tonight to do and say whatever it is that we need to say that you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I'm going over to my brother's brother-in-law and sister. They're coming over here on Saturday and then getting together with all my brothers and sisters and their spouses. We're going to have a dinner together, and you know, they're all Roman Catholic or charismatic Catholic, and I would just like some prayer.
Okay.
To be encouraged a little. You know, sometimes you even get a little bit anxious about it because they're all coming over, and you know, we meet together maybe once or twice a year, you know, and that's about it. Like, just to have time together, you know. So we're not a real close family where we actually go see each other, you know. And it's not. I assume like you guys have or whatever. And so I just hold my brothers and sisters up before you, and I just pray, Lord, that you would have control over Saturday meeting of the family. And Lord, I know a discussion of you may come up, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be my voice for me. And my heart and my mind, in Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Lord, I just lift up Andrew to you also, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place in him peace and rest about this family gathering, Lord. I ask, Father, that you put so much peace in him and so much light of Jesus upon him, that they would want to know what it is about him that's so different than us, and that he would be able to share not only the gospel, but the love of Jesus from out of his heart. Lord, I ask and I pray before he goes over there that you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord, throughout his whole being, so much so he'd be so filled with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that when he gets over there, they'll feel the anointing of Christ upon him. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, I want everybody in here to believe that that's going to happen for Andrew, and he's going to see a change. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe it, Andrew. Amen. I pray that for myself, too, because I'm going back to Arkansas Sunday, and like you, there's a lot of them there that are just nominal at best Christians, and some of them not, you know, are not even that. So, Lord, I just pray for myself that when I get there, that they won't see nothing but Jesus. They won't see nothing but peace and joy. They won't see anything but Jesus coming out. And they said, my papa's got something there. I got to have that. A dad's got something there. I got to have that. or whatever, brother's got something, I got to have that. Lord, I thank you that you're going to make a change in all of our lives this coming week. If some of us go to family and have that big Thanksgiving dinner that we generally have, traditionally have had over the years, and that they would notice a change in each one of us. They'd see that holiness. They'd see that perfection. They'd see that light and that love of Christ in our hearts, Lord. By everything that we speak and every action that we take. And Father, I thank you for leading us, guiding us, and directing our lips to speak only as an oracle of God. And I thank you, Lord, that when we do talk, that we're only going to speak love. We're only going to speak blessings. We're not going to speak any curses. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I'm getting fired up already. Glory to God. Because I know what's going to happen. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, we're not going to be here Tuesday either. We're going to be gone too to Colorado.
Colorado?
Yeah.
Ooh, you're going to the sky country, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be gone for a week. So.
Well, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lord, we just thank you for blessing Denny and Debbie as they go to Colorado and visit family. And I praise you, Father, that the same thing I prayed for all of us and myself and Andrew, the same applies to them as well, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That the people that they see, the family members that they see, Lord, ain't going to see nothing but Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see some lives change next time we come together. In Jesus' name, amen.
God.
Amen. All right, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Is your hand up or are you just scratching your fingers?
We have another request to pray for.
Just further.
Right now.
Oh, we just want further prayer for victory. Again, some things unfolded just recently in
today,
in fact. And she just wants, we need a real prayer for her. So I think she's going to be on her own, and that man that she's living with is going to probably not be living there.
Yay.
And so she's going to face some new difficulties. So
it's going to be hard, though.
Providing for her place and all that, and just other areas. So just continue prayer for victory.
Okay. Well, we've already prayed for her, and I'm going to tell you something. What we see ain't necessarily what's going to end up being, is it?
No, it's
praise
not.
Praise God. We thank you, Lord,
for
victory. We thank you, Lord, that victory has got the victory in Jesus' name. Yes, praise you, Lord. Amen. Glory be to God.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll be keeping her in my prayers, too. I'm excited about that one there, because there was a great anointing when we was praying for her the other night. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Who else? That's a nice hand. Go ahead, Missy. I got to cut up with Missy. She deserves it.
Sunday, we're going to Merle's family for Thanksgiving on Sunday. And a lot of his brothers and sisters are really old, for lack of a better way of saying it. But anyway.
What do you mean? You mean old?
Yeah, well, his...
Ancient?
His oldest sibling is his sister, and she's 68. No, not 68. I'm sorry. 88. I think she's not quite 88.
88.
Okay. But there's one in particular, his sister and brother-in-law, Herbie and Shirley, his sister Shirley and his brother-in-law Herbie, he's been diagnosed with bone cancer and Oh, what's that other one where you shake?
It's palsy.
No. Anyway.
Parkinson's.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
But, you know, it's amazing. He was doing really bad a few years ago, and he had taken communion. He went into communion, and he asked the Lord to touch him, and his face was really drooped on one side, and he could really feel actually felt the Lord touch him, and the Lord kind of brought him out of he could hardly even walk, and I haven't seen them for like a year and a half, but and I've always tried to encourage him and everything too. I said, Herb, you know, the Lord wouldn't, it's not going to just partially heal you, do that for you. He's going to completely heal you, you know? And, anyway, I'd like, to pray for our visit with his family. Father, I just ask you that, you go with us and that your spirit walk in with us, Lord, and you give opportunities to share your love and your truth. However you lead, Lord, open the doors, Lord, and I just ask you to just bless our time with the family, and I thank you, Lord, for healing Herbie. Thank you for keeping him. He's been really sick for a long time, Lord, and it amazes me that he's still alive, but it's only by your grace that he's alive. That's the only way he could be alive, Lord, and I just thank you, Lord, for your salvation to all of Merle's family, his brothers and sisters and his nieces and nephews and everybody, Lord, and I just ask you for a peaceful, blessed time with him, and that you just touch everybody's heart, Lord, with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for filling up Missy and Merle when they go in there, before they go in there, Lord, and that they would be a light to all those people in there, to his brothers and his sisters, and all the family members. And I praise you, Father, for just a warm anointing to be encouragement to all of them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, Joe.
I've got a prayer request. I'm glad you brought up what you were talking about there. I guess you chose something else there about the hunger. Because I remember you said something about wanting to share something about the power of the tongue. But then now you said, you know, hey, I've got a compilation here of preachers about the hunger. And I thought, you know, that's something that's kind of been on my heart.
Yeah, the power of the tongue. Yeah, I got to do that too. I'll do that too. I'll do both of them.
Hey, fair enough. Hey,
yeah,
you're welcome.
I reminder. Forgot about that. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. I forgot about that.
But no, I'm glad you brought up at least the first part of it, because I was last Saturday I started listening to the Grace to Walk in the Word five-part series. I listened to the first one, and wow, that was pretty convicting. I was quite convicted. And just, you know, today I ended up, before I came to work, I ended up listening to the first 48 minutes of the second part. And then I listened to the third part earlier, you know, when I got off of work. And I'd like to pray about that concerning myself. I mean, good thing you brought up, you know, like I said, good thing you brought up hunger, because it really talks about that just from Psalms 119. And, you know, I mean, grace to walk in the word. I mean, basically it's talking about the word of God and our, as David said, our relationship to it. And well, I must confess, it's, you know, my own personal, you know, relationship with the word hasn't always been a great one. So, I mean, like I said, it was pretty convicting. You know, I just thought, wow, I mean, there are certain things about it I don't desire, or my attitude has always been one, you know, it's like I said, you know, many times before, it's been a struggle. And I think that's, you know, I think that's, you know, the signs of a deeper issue, you know. just the love, you know, I mean, if you love the Lord, I'm realizing, as David was saying, you have no problem reading the word. I mean, you desire to, you know, I mean, and as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, I mean, he was really, you know, reiterating that if we truly love the Lord, you know, we will love to spend time in the word. We'll love it. You know, we'll want to be obedient most of all. And so I must confess, I mean, that's what was convicting for me. It's like my love isn't what it should be. And, you know, it's always been a task. You know, it's always been kind of a burdensome task to want to, you know, lately get the word. So I think I'll go ahead and pray, you know, and just, agree with me. I mean, it was a pretty convicting series and still is. So I thought, you know, hey, this is the next thing the Lord wants to deal with in me. So. Anyway, okay. Father God, I thank you for first of all, you know, I kind of sense that was, you know, what you wanted me to deal with there, as Michael brought up the idea of preacher speaking about hunger. You know, Lord, I confess I'm lacking in that area lately. You know, Lord, I've always struggled with your word. I must confess I've never, I mean, not even lately, you know, so much. I think probably in the past, but I mean, I can't ever truly say, Lord, I've had a true love and a true desire, you know, to truly just love your word, to love you, Lord, the way that you desire for me to. Even command me, you know, as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, you know, and that's not a thing I'm realizing, Father, that it's just like, you know, it's just such a burdensome thing. But if we love you, Lord, it's just, we will delight in the idea. We'll say, yes, absolutely. And Lord, I must confess, I don't have that. You know, I haven't had that attitude. I must confess that sin, you know, and, you know, forgive me for that, Lord. You know, and I desire that. I thank you, Lord, that everything we ask, that, you know, if we believe, it's ours. And so, Lord, I desire that love, like I see others here. You know, I thank you that you've given others that desire, you know, and that has been a testimony to me, like, wow, you know, I mean, I desire that for myself. And so, you know, Lord, that I may be a blessing to others, but Lord, change my heart. Most of all, I desire that you change my heart to where that, you know, will be a reality. Because, I mean, I believe this is just a symptom of something deeper, Lord, a deeper, you know, lack in my life. You know, so Lord, I pray you would just give me that desire. You know, I don't want it to be a task, a burdensome task anymore, Lord. You know, I sense that's the flesh, or I mean, whatever that is, Lord. I don't want it to be a burden to get in the word, but I want it to just be a thing that it comes natural because I love it, because I have a desire to please you, to do what I need to do, to be obedient. That no matter what I read, you know, it may convict me. My flesh may hate it. Doesn't matter, Lord. I want that desire, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing, and have done. And I pray for anyone else in here, Lord, that may have those similar struggles, Lord. They may be lacking in those areas, Lord. We thank you. We ask this, you know, for all of us, Lord, that you know, wouldn't be a burden. But Lord, we would love to study your word. We would love your word, and we would hold it in such respect. And higher esteem that we do, you know, the things that distract us, like in the world and whatever else. Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for that hunger to just, you know, seek after you, Lord. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just believe with Joe that's happening. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father, for what you're doing in Joe. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Hey, Pat. All right. Hey, Willie.
Michael, can I?
Sure.
I have, we're meeting with some friends of ours that are, they're working for a missionary organization and have been stationed in Tajikistan for the last close to 20 years. And due to some family issues with their Mike's mother, they're coming back to this area to kind of take care of her and because of health problems and whatnot. but and we're going to be meeting with them this weekend, Sunday, having dinner with them Sunday. And so I think I've been thinking about that they haven't been in the United States. I'm sure they've been back maybe for visits off and on, although I haven't seen them for quite a while. But living overseas, especially in a Muslim country like that, you can't go in. You can't email them or talk to them or mention anything about God in any kind of, or Christian or anything like that in any kind of email. You have to kind of talk veiled with your information veiled and kind of be very vague about making comments, etc., because they monitor email and all that sort of thing, telephone calls and whatever. So and they've gone over not as missionaries but as a relief organization, helping the local people read and write, and doing training people to do jobs and whatnot. So I'm not really aware of all the aspects of what they've been doing there. But I do know that they're in for a bit of a culture shock. If they haven't been in this country for close to 20 years, they're definitely going to, suffer a little bit of a jolt coming back here. But anyway, just a kind of a request for prayer for us to be able to speak directly to what they need and what they're feeling, and just that the Lord would bless their hearts and open up their eyes to see where we are at in time and in this end times, and maybe get a view for what God is doing in the world today and that sort of thing. So request prayer for me and for my wife, that we can meet that need in their lives as well. One thing I was thinking about that scripture that said, I don't remember where it's at now. I probably should have searched it, but it's the one that is talking about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And matter of fact, I will just, as I'm talking about that, looks like I don't know, missed it. Maybe I misspelled it wrong. But not to underestimate where God has taken you and what he has done in your life, and the truth that you have latched onto and believed and worked into your life has brought forth a perspective transition in you and I and all of us here, as we've listened to his word and begin to absorb and see what he really means by many of the words that are in the scripture. And we've come, I know that I, over the years, have come to a understanding that obviously we look out across the Christian landscape across the world, and you're able to see the apostasy and the just the various different denominations and how kind of useless that whole process is to a certain degree. And but I think we might tend to underestimate how somebody popped up with that scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. And so I guess I was just thinking, don't underestimate what God has done in your life in placing his word there, because very few people in the world today experience that change, experience that transition. I was just thinking about it today, about how people tend, they in the world today, we look out, the majority of the people that we talk with just do not see. They just don't understand. They're in darkness, and that darkness has clouded their eyes, and they can't see the light. And I think that if we, I know for myself, I have to step back every once in a while and basically, many times if we're in our relationships and in our dealing with people, we would possibly tend to get critical or angry or short with people or whatever, because of the, you know, their reactions or their, the things that they say to us, et cetera, that, but when you take it in the perspective that they are in the dark, and they many of the people that you talk to just don't see, because if they really saw who Christ was, if they really could perceive who Jesus is and get a view of him, I think their perspective would totally change. Anyway, I guess I'm just thinking that not to underestimate, even when we visit with our people, with our friends and our families here this week and or next week, not to underestimate what the Spirit of God has placed in your life. And the other thing I think that I wanted to say is that one of the things that holds me back or tends to be an anchor is me knowing my own history and my own history with my family and growing up, and it's with my wife and my kids and everything. And I know that I think I'm looking for a change with God I know I've been stuck in Ezekiel 36 there about this God removing this stony heart of flesh and replacing it with a heart of flesh. And it seems like that there, in my view or my reading of that, that there's a transition of some sort. There's something that happens, a before and an after. There's a place that before I was functioning with a hard, I don't know how to put it, a harder heart, a heart that has come through the battles of life and the failures and the and that whole process, and has became or though I'm stumbling over my words now or my lack of words, but there's a transition from that stony heart of flesh to God's heart of flesh that he puts in us. And I think I am still looking to see that transition. I know that's a transition of faith, a transition of that sanctification and that separate, that change comes by faith. And I know that to a certain degree, I can claim it by faith and stand on it. And I guess I'm right at that point in my life where I am reaching out and grabbing it, and on one hand, and on the other hand, waiting to see the reaction or the response or the results of that. So I don't know if that's because I'm looking to that in faith, but not really faith. I'm looking for. I read something the other day about that if you're waiting for something to happen within you, that you're not really standing in faith related to that, because you're really waiting to see the results of that faith. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but and to a certain degree you're saying, well, I believe it, but I'm really, really going to believe it when I see it. And that's not really faith. That's hope, or that's looking to something in the future. So that's kind of where I'm at in this whole process. I don't know if that says anything to anybody, but it's more of a description of where I feel I'm at. But anyway, back to that original point, though I appear to be struggling and am struggling in certain things, God has certainly placed a lot of His Word in me, which has created to a certain degree this, I don't know, unstableness or continual seeking or whatever it would be. So I'm throwing all that out as a, I don't know if that's more confusion or less confusion or what, but I'm tossing it out. So anyway, as a point of prayer for me.
Okay, Lord, what He said. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. No, I'm just kidding you, Pat. I'm just kidding. Lord, I just lift up Pat to You, and I praise You, Father, for great discernment when he goes to meet these people. And not only that, Lord, that You would give him and his wife wisdom and be, Lord, when they get up in the morning, before they go over there, if they just ask You, Lord, to fill them up with Your Spirit, Lord, to be led and to be overcomers when they get there, and that discernment would be upon them, wisdom would be upon them, and they would speak only as You would direct them to speak, Lord. And I thank You for it. And I thank You, Lord, that it's going to be an awesome time for Pat and his wife and the other couple as well. And I thank You, Lord, that it's going to be a life changer for the other couple. And I thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise You, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Okay, I believe it's going to be done. I do. All right, anyone else? Denny, if you're trying to talk, we have to unmute you first here. Hang on. I guess, or y'all have to, I think I muted you back.
Okay. You know, what Pat was sharing, I guess what I've learned over this is that faith looks back, you know, at the cross. Hope kind of looks forward to something that you're hoping to get, but faith looks back at the cross where it's already been done. You just have to believe that. You just have to trust it and accept it. and, you know, like receive it. And God would just rest in that, and knowing that it's already been done. It's just already been done. And God's the one who takes over. Then he intervenes and takes over. And, you know, I think you'll see the results with that. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Danny, I agree with what you're saying. I guess what I'm reading that, though, in Ezekiel 36 there, where he is talking about that, taking away our stony heart of flesh and putting his heart of flesh within us. And then at the end of, I think, verse 37 or 27, it says, "Thus I will be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them." And those verses indicate, to a certain degree, I know that we can take the Old Covenant writing as patterns and types in our life, yet there seems to be a from Ezekiel's perspective there, as he's talking about this as though it's something that's going to be done in the future, and the house of Israel will, and this thing that God does, that the house of Israel will inquire it of him, or there will be a kind of a separate, it's definitely not a repentance unto salvation, but it is a separate thing that appears to, that they will request in the future. And so what I'm trying to use as a pattern, what's the parallel in my life, or what's the parallel in our lives? Is that something that we as Christians come to see, that there's something further that we need to receive from God, or to fit the pattern, I guess is what I'm saying. So and this is kind of in my mind where the dilemma is that I can look back at the cross, and the cross is where all of our benefits came from and are established. But what is the future thing that we as Christians are looking forward to inquire of God, that God would do this for us? Do you see what I'm saying? It seems like there's, what's the parallel there, or I know I should be looking back, but should I also be looking forward and inquiring of God to do this for me? I can't hear you if you're talking.
Man, yeah. No, I think when that, it seemed like when Jesus brought in the new covenant, and all that work was done. I'm just going by what I remember David's teachings and how it impacted my life, because I was looking forward to something, to like receive that something from God, and I wasn't receiving it, and I was in a sin and confess type of a cycle, you know, in my life, and that can go on and on and on and on. You're always hoping for something more. But when I came across David's teaching, he shared how that we've already, it's already ours, and just receive it by faith, and rest in that faith, and God will undertake, you know, God will take over and do the work in you. And then the battle doesn't become mine, but it's the battle that Jesus already won for us. And I I remember the time when I got before God, and I just sat before him and said, okay, Lord, I'm gonna do this. He put two verses together for me, the one in Mark where it talks about whatever you pray and believe that you already have received it, and it will be given you. And then the other verse was that to reckon yourself dead unto sin. And that's what I really wanted, because I knew that sin still was impacting my life, and I was sinning and confessing and sinning and confessing. I just thought that's the way it's going to be. And most people taught that too, that no one can be perfect. After all, we all sin. But when I was reading David's teaching, he was saying something else. And I really sat before the Lord and I said, well, I'm gonna try what David Eales is teaching here. And so I asked the Lord to, I just trusted. I thought, I'm just gonna trust you that it's already been done, and that the old man is dead. That's that old heart, that stony heart is dead. And I'm just going to trust you for that. And I'm believing that I've already received it. I'm just rested in that. And then a couple months went by and I got before the Lord again. I remember sitting and I was looking back and I was, you know, being honest and looking at my life. And I thought, boy, I've been overcoming everything. Everything that I need to overcome, I've been overcoming. But I was just resting in him. And it wasn't like a battle so much anymore. I was resting in him. And, you know, I was starting to get excited about it. And I remember like a couple more months went by and I got before the Lord again. I was just kind of reviewing this whole thing. And I looked at my life again. I thought, I've been just walking in total victory. Every time there's temptation comes of some sort, he always provides a way of escape. And I learned to take that way of escape, look for it and take that way of escape right away. You know, don't dwell on things. And I was just overcoming, and I was, you know, overcoming. And then I think it was about 6 months into this, and I was still walking in that victory. And I was reading in Isaiah 35 one time, and I came across the verses where he mentions a highway of holiness. And so when I read that verse, God just spoke in my heart and said, you're on that highway. Boy, I was just so excited. That, you know, that highway leads to Zion, and it says that no one can come and entice you off of it, or no wild animal can come and drag you out of it. It's a safe place, and stay on that highway. And God just showed me that I was walking in that victory, and overcoming it, and everything that seemed to, and they, even the temptation started dropping off. They were just like, I wasn't hardly being tempted anymore, and I was just walking in total victory. And I realized that it was through faith that, you know, God, which is a gift from God that he gives, that I was able to, he's enabling me to do this through faith. And that's what his grace is, because he gave it, you know, it wasn't my efforts. I couldn't do it. The grace was the fact that he gave the faith and enabling me to walk in it. And that was been, you know, over 2.5 years ago or so. I mean, I've been, you're just walking in victory all the time, it seems like. I just know what David was preaching was true, you know, that we can walk in victory, but it's through that faith, and you have to just rest in that faith. I've received it, and just rest in that, but so totally trust it that you do have it. Amen. And he secured it for you. As far as any kind of hope, then, you know, that would be other areas maybe where he's working in your life and other things. But as far as overcoming and walking in that victory, that, you know, it's by faith. So I don't know if that helps. So,
amen. Yes, it does. Yep. Thank you very much.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that's all good stuff there, boy. All right, that's a good teaching. Amen. All right, anybody else? I'm trying to find something here. Okay. Yeah, Willie, go ahead, brother. That was me. All these bells ringing.
Hey, it's a verse of scripture I was reading in Romans, and it's based on what Joe was saying. It's based on kind of what everybody was saying. Okay, can you still hear me? Sorry, I'm messing around so I can see everybody. But you know, the Lord used Andrew Murray, you know, to bring this, you know, knowledge to me. And it was something that, you know, haven't everyone had a chance to listen to Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray? Like the whole 5 hours of it. Some audiobooks are 5 hours, some are six, some are seven, depending on the reader. And I wanted to read Romans 10:9-11. Can you guys hear me fine? Okay. It says, I'll start at 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. And, you know, we get a bit of knowledge about Jesus Christ, you know, as we're beginning to grow in the faith after our confession. And we forget that you're only growing in the knowledge of your confession. Your confession should stay the same. You know, it shouldn't change. Because you had a growth spurt in knowledge. Like, oh, I just learned that Jesus was a healer. Oh man, I got a hard time believing that one. You know, or being delivered from temptations, you know. Wait a minute, I can cast out devils? Oh, I got a hard time believing in that one. You know, but all of these things were the package. And, you know, in your salvation, Joe, I'm just like you. I'm not an astute reader. Man, I don't like to read. It's a black thing. Don't worry, Joe. No, I'm just joking. But yeah. And I just had to say, you know what, Lord, I just thank you for just giving me power to read, because there's a power there that's stopping me from reading. Just like there's a power there that stops a person from worshiping, and there's a power there that stops a person from praying. There's another power. You know, there's an authority that needs to be torn down, you know. It says in Ecclesiastes, you know, there is a time to tear down and there's a time to build. And, you know, God reveals something about your confession and you're like, oh, what is this? You know, and that confession reveals something about your heart. And the Lord's like, well, now it's a time to tear down, you know, and it's a time to build. And so you get this and you're just like, oh, how can I believe this for my family? You know, and we forget that, you know, everything was based on that confession. You know, everything is in that confession. You know, everything in faith, even everything that you need is in that confession. You know, he says, you know, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Do you know that, you know, I find it interesting how it says we reap what we sow. But God came to Abraham and confessed to Abraham, I'm God, you know, and introduced himself. And God gave a good confession about himself. And, you know, Abraham believed God. And next thing you know, Abraham became the friend of God, you know. Jesus was constantly, you know, showing that he was the Son of God. He was constantly confessing it through teachings and through the works that came through faith. And when he turned around to his disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter said, "The Son of the living God." And, you know, if here it is, the Son of God is doing all of this confessing first, doing all of it first, you know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, we would just add everything in that first confession that we made toward God. Oh, I'm feeling sick. Oh, my family members are going.
Can I ask for some quick prayer real quick? My son just passed out, and I want a real prayer real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come on board. My son passed out. He's on the floor, and I'm helping him out. In the name of Jesus, whatever it is, we cast this off him now. It's a sickness. It's like a fever. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against that attack on his body, and we command it to stop right now in Jesus' name. We command healing in that body. We command that boy to come alive, to wake up. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command the fever to go right now, in Jesus' name. Thank we command you. That infirmity to go in the name of Jesus. We command that spirit of infirmity off of that boy right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for cooling his body right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
And Father, we thank you that that boy is okay. We praise you, Father, because we know our prayers are answered. All of our prayers are answered. We thank you, Father, that that young man is going to be fine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Lord. All right. Thank you for your healing anointing throughout that whole room in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving him a good night's sleep too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's done deal. That boy's going to be fine. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We bless that young man right now in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We bless him with the healing power of God. We take authority over all of that attack on him. Commanded off of him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I'm done. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for that boy's healing. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace upon him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay.
Amen.
Okey-doke.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thanks. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Wow. Don't get no better than that. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but that's all I really have to say. You know, everything's in that first confession. Everything is in your first confession. You know, he's just going to reveal to you the knowledge of what you confess. you know, because God will continue to confess himself, you know, before men, you know, God has no shame of it, you know, but he says, he that is ashamed of me, he'll have that shame toward us, you know. God is not looking for a certain type of energy for you to have in yourself. He's just looking for you to confess the good confession. You know, when I confessed Christ in the church, I was scared. Yeah, I was. I had no idea, you know, in a sense, my crown of mind had no idea what it was getting itself into. But, you know, after that confession, you know, the carnal mind couldn't stop the power. You know, the power came. And it's continued on all this time in my life. You know, I've learned so much more since I came across you guys. I've always imagined myself being in a certain place with God, but I got to put that type of imagination away, you know, because it's just things where I see myself confident that, you know, I want him to put me in that place of what glorifies him, you know, not a place where I can get the glory, you know. I'm glad, you know, I'm not an astute reader, because when he gives that to me, you know, no one's going to be able to say, you know, brother, you're so knowledgeable. I mean, no, you know. God gave me all of that wisdom. God gave me that, you know. God did all of that for me. Oh, brother, I just thank you for healing my mother. Oh, no, I didn't believe on him. You know, God, you know, gave me that. God changed that in me, man. You know, and that's what he wants to do with your life. You know, don't beat yourself down. You know, he's just revealing knowledge you need to know. These are things you need to know. You know, he's going to tear down and he's going to build up, you know, and he's going to show himself God. When he made Adam, he came to Adam. Adam wasn't born with all knowledge about God. He was made from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils. And I'm pretty sure God repeats himself. He said to Adam, I'm God. You know, and Adam believed God. You know, but God has a history of repeating himself. I believe God's first confession about himself to man was in that garden. You know, and Adam knew, you know, he was God, you know. In so much, it said the voice of the Lord could be heard walking in the cool of the garden. He believed, so they had fellowship. They, you know, God constantly communicated it, Adam. But yeah. That's all I got to say, you know. Ask God for everything. God, I don't like read. Give me power to read. Ask for power to overcome that whatever that is, that power that's come against you. But yeah, I've been doing that. I'm just saying that's what I've been doing, and I've been seeing fruit from it, and it's working. Awesome. You know, don't got enough love, asking for it. Don't got enough faith? Ask him for it. It's all in your confession. It's all there. All right, I'm done.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Willie. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Pat.
I was in that verse that Willie was reading there. The Lord gave me a thought a few days ago, a week ago or something like that. And it's just, it's kind of one of those nuggets that he throws out there every once in a while to me so that I can think about it and about, you know, what are the ramifications to that? And it was a very simple thought, but it was right there in Romans 10:13. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the thought that came to me was, calling upon the name of the Lord. And notice that he doesn't say those that call upon the Lord shall be saved. He says those that call upon the name, as David says, the reputation, what are the three characteristics? Character, authority, and I don't remember the other one now.
Nature.
But he's saying, call upon the name of the Lord. And one of the things that kind of hit me about that was that if you're and obviously we get comfortable with that process, and it ends up being, to a certain degree, a confidence where you're just calling upon the Lord. But it doesn't start out that way. It starts out calling upon the name, the nature, the character, the authority, his reputation, what he has said about himself, call upon that. Base and the thought was, if it's a matter of me, say, calling upon the Lord, or calling upon anybody, calling upon my boss, I'm at the mercy of what he feels like today. In other words, he may not feel like giving me my request today. You got up in a bad mood or whatever the thing would be, and he really didn't feel like it, or whatever the thing would be. But the Lord doesn't want us to be placed or caught or left in that type of environment where we should feel or be compelled to feel that our request, our prayer, is based upon our particular performance or our merit, or whether we have really cut the mustard, we're really on a good winning streak this week or whatever, so God's going to give us the answer to our prayer or whatever. I don't think he wants us to be in that frame of mindset, but he does want us to have faith upon what he has said and what he's given us, that his name represents the promises that he has made, and trusting in that promise and in that word. He wants us to, I think, anchor down upon that and call upon his name, put our confidence and trust in his name, what he has said, and not so much put the inference or the weight upon calling upon him. And that's just kind of one of the things that I got out of that. And again, it's another one of them nuggets where you wake up in the morning and pop, there's that thought in your head. And then you start kicking that around, and what are the ramifications? And that was just one of the things that he brought out to me on that particular thing. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Those whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I just wanted to throw that out before it got away from me.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Okay, well, let me see if I can't get this thing up here and going. What do I do here? Share.
challenge all of the power of the mind. You can think yourself into a depression. You can think your way into stress. You can think your way into misery, frustration. There's so much more power in the mind than you probably like to give yourself credit for. Change your mind. Decide that you love yourself enough to not surround yourself with people, things, and situations that can have your mind continuing to spiral down this negative and dysfunctional train.
Once I feed you with an idea that you are susceptible to something, look, I can feed you with an idea that this pill that we just got from the pharmaceutical company, it's the greatest, best thing for your issue. And I give you this pill and you get better. And then later you find out it was a sugar pill and everybody goes, yeah, that's called the placebo effect. And I go, what does it really mean? I said, you didn't get healed by the pill, you got healed by the belief in the pill. And I go, well, yeah, that's what placebo is all about. And at least one third, minimum of one third of all medical intervention is, it's a placebo effect that where the healing comes from. Everybody goes, yeah, I know about the placebo. I go, yeah, but that's a result of positive thinking. What about negative thinking? And this is what we don't talk about, but the reality is it's equally powerful in regard to affecting your biology as is positive thinking, but it works in the opposite direction. A negative thought is called the nocebo effect. Can cause any disease and you can die. If you believe you're gonna die, you can die from the belief. So we really have to watch out because, as psychologists would tell us, 70% or more of our thoughts are negative and redundant, replaying the same negative thoughts. I go, if thoughts had nothing to do with it, fine. But thoughts, positive or negative, shape our biology, and all of a sudden it says, well, now it's time to wake up because our negative thinking is manifesting a negative life experience.
Words are extremely powerful. You actually create your own laws and limitations for yourself using the words that you use most often. The greatest teacher to ever live, the carpenter from the plains of Galilee, once said, "By your words, you are justified, and by your words, you are condemned." He understood the spiritual properties words possessed. Rumor has it, the prime creator actually spoke the universe into existence, also known as cymatics or vibration. And remember, you are a piece of the creator and possess the same creative qualities. Never use phrases like, "This is killing me," or "This makes me sick." Though lighthearted, those are actual commands that are stirring energy in motion.
From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
There are high energy words, and there are low energy words. High energy words attract to you positive people, positive situations, positive outcomes, positive circumstances. They also raise your health and the health and wellness of those listening.
From the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. An honest witness tells the truth, but a false witness tells lies. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment.
Low energy words do the exact opposite. They attract all manner of negative situations and circumstances, and they have also been proven to lower your immune system, making you more susceptible to illness. Dr. Emoto's water experiment proved that words and intention actually have a physical impact on water.
Dr. Emoto's laboratory does research on water samples which are subjected to various forms of outside influence. The impressions made upon the water are recorded by swiftly freezing it in a cryogenic chamber. Somebody said, "Thank you" to this water. Excuse me. You disgust me. Idiot. I hate you. Love. Hope. Soul. Emoto Masaru's numerous experiments aimed at finding the word that cleanses water most powerfully have shown that it is not just one word, but a combination of two. Love and gratitude.
Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech.
Jesus said that your words are spirit.
The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life.
It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not.
Faith comes by hearing. It's like when we say, "I can do this," and then I set out to accomplish it. That it is the very words that when heard, because faith comes by hearing, that when you hear yourself saying these words, "I can do this," that you actually can get the courage and the strength and the wherewithal to get something done. That's why it's not just important to think good thoughts. You have to speak those thoughts. If you want things to come out and you want them to be manifested into the world, if you have a thought within you, you need to speak that thought out. You need to create by speaking the very thing that you had within you. You need to bring somehow into this world and make it so. Think of it this way. A thought that is within you is not in this world. The thought that is within you is within you. It is only until you speak that thought and you give it a vibration in this world that it actually manifests. The scriptures say that God spoke and everything became. The scriptures say that every word that we speak will be judged accordingly. That we will be held accountable for everything that we say and everything that we think. This is why we must take every thought captive. Every thought that comes into our mind, it has the potential to create that thought in the world if manifested by the words that you speak. Your thoughts create, your words make them become the very thing that you believe that they will be.
We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison,
With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Dr. Emoto has conducted another interesting experiment. He placed rice into three glass beakers and covered it with water. And then every day for a month, he said, "Thank you" to one beaker, "You're an idiot" to the second. And the third one, he completely ignored. After 1 month, the rice that had been thanked began to ferment, giving off a strong, pleasant aroma. The rice in the second beaker turned black. And the rice that was ignored began to rot.
Front is that we're going to say good, beautiful, positive things to the good apple and bad, nasty things to the bad apple. So I just took out my apples from the bad apple jar and the good apple jar. And as you can see, this is amazing. Even for the most skeptical ones out there, you have to admit that this is, and I have to admit, I was one of those that was a little skeptical, and I am in awe at what I'm seeing right now.
Odds? Try using 25 containers or even 50 containers. This works, and it shows that our thoughts literally shapes our lives.
I love you, strawberry. Love, 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 love.
I hate you, strawberry. Hate, 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 hate you, hate.
Love, 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 love. Hate, 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 hate.
That looks completely normal. Look at the fungus mold. Disgustingness on the hate berry. Look at this thing.
People do things that annoy, disappoint, and anger. Though we cannot look into another's heart, we assume that we know a bad motive or even a bad person when we see one. This topic of judging others could actually be taught in a two-word sermon. When it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following. Stop it.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Haven't we all, at one time or another, meekly approached the mercy seat and pleaded for grace? Haven't we wished with all the energy of our souls for mercy, to be forgiven for the mistakes we have made and the sins we have committed? Forgiving ourselves and others is not easy. In fact, for most of us, it requires a major change in our attitude and way of thinking, even a change of heart. This mighty change of heart is exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ is designed to bring about.
I'm truly, truly sorry.
Let us be kind. Let us forgive. Let us talk peacefully with each other. Let us do good unto all men.
But at the time, it just...
Allowing us to see others the way our Heavenly Father sees us, as flawed and imperfect mortals who have potential and worth far beyond our capacity to imagine. Because God loves us so much, we too must love and forgive. Remember, in the end, it is the merciful who obtain mercy.
Believe it or not, each word that you speak is an affirmation. You are always affirming that you want more of it into your life by speaking it, by placing your attention on it, by talking about it. Since that's the case, only talk about the joyous things that you would like to have and experience. And before you know it, those words will become an everyday part of your vocabulary, and your life will soon follow suit.
Yeah. What'd y'all think about that? Powerful, right? Powerful. I want every one of my strawberries to be ripe. I don't want them to be no mold on them. I want my apples brown. I want my rice to be nice and perfect. Lord of God, and I want y'all's to be that way too. Amen. Yeah, Missy. Well, you kick back, aren't you, gal?
one aspect that it didn't really touch on a whole lot, but really came to my mind towards the end. This was only the second time I watched it, but anyway, think about what you listen to, as far as like on TV, whatever, any kind of media. Form of media, you know, what you listen to has an effect on you too. And not only has an effect on you, anybody else that hears it, you know, goes along with what they were saying there, you know? So everything that we say has an effect on everything around us. And even if it's not coming out of our own mouth, what we're listening to and others are hearing it too, it has an effect on them too. And even watching with our eyes, but this is more about words, but it's still a you know, very similar.
Well, you know, you've got a point there, because if you sit there and listen to that TV all day and you get all that vile stench in your mind, it's the same thing. It's the same thing as somebody else speaking bad to you. Or if you sit on the internet and watch all the news, like sometimes we catch ourselves doing, you know. Hey, I'm guilty. I do that. I have done that, but I'm going to shut down on it. Because you know what I was thinking today about that? I mean, well, you can sit there and watch the news, and what do? Well, why don't they do something about that? Come on now. You know, and you get yourself all worked up over nothing. Ain't nothing you can do but one thing that's going to affect the outcome of anything in the news, and that's praying. That's praying. So I've decided that that's what I'm going to do from now on, is I'm going to just pray and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on out there, but you do, but fix it in Jesus' name, you know. You're going to hear the news from people around you. And I'm like, Missy, I want nothing but Jesus coming in my ears. I want nothing but the people of God talking to me. You know what I'm talking about. We get so wrapped up sometimes. I know I do. I have in the past. And get so wrapped up in what's going on in the world. Sometimes we forget about what we're here for. So, anyway. Yeah, Joe.
I would say what you said, Missy, would be the start of the whole process. Because, I mean, how are you going to have, or where are you getting those negative thoughts and words, you know? You're getting them from somewhere. You know, you could be conversating with negative people. I mean, that's something that's always an issue with me at work. You know, I'm always around it. And habitually negative. I mean, you know, bitter, unforgiving people. And there's just a lot of negativity. So I've got to always something. I mean, that helped to reiterate for me. You know, I've got to be on guard in that area. It's just not to return whatever said. But yeah, I mean, you know, and you look online, political stuff, it doesn't matter if it's negative, you know, and you don't stop it at the thought process. Cause I like what David said before, the sin, there's like three different stages of, before sin manifests itself. It starts from the thoughts. So unless you hit them thoughts, you know, and you stop it at that moment, it's just going to manifest. It's going to come right out your mouth. And then, like you said, it affects everything. And I'm starting to realize that. Or one thing that spoke to me, I noticed is that, you know, with the plants, the flowers and the rice and the ones that were left alone, you know, the ones that were, you know, spoken negatively of, okay, yeah, they were bad, but you look at the ones that were just left alone. And I think in this, Grace to Walk in the Word series, David said something, you know, I think if God left us alone, you know, we wouldn't make it, we'd be a mess. And I've always found myself at times saying that. I think like the worst thing you could ever say is just, God, leave me alone. You know, I don't want nothing to do with you. You know, that's a dangerous thing to say. So I think it's that part of the video is where it showed those, different things that they were just neglected, left alone. I mean, you can see the major damage that's done. You know, nothing positive said or nothing negative said. So that really stood out to me. I thought, wow, yeah. You know, when you got somebody there who's hurting or, you know, going through some hard times or whatever, you know, I mean, not even speaking to them or saying anything can be worse, you know, it looks like, than saying something negative, you know. So, I mean, just maybe it's better to, I mean, you know, it's better to say something positive, you know, to hopefully uplift them. But it seems like from what the video was showing you, you know, the studies, not doing anything, you know, is far worse. So, yeah.
Amen. I got a suggestion, Debbie and Denny and Missy and Joe, when y'all are down here. When you come in the house, just go by them plants that's on your right when you come in and say, I love you. I love you. And just go down the road when you come in, you know, and when you go, I said, I still love you. And watch them plants blossom out. I'll tell you, it's going to be awesome. I'm just saying, you know. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, what Joe said, that part really impressed me too. You know, what came to my mind was you know, a child left fend for themselves and you know, parents going about their own thing and just doing whatever they were really talking. I mean, even much to the child and they don't say anything good or bad, the fact that they're being ignored, we have an innate, God built within us the need for other people. And that need is to have communication. And you know that in the world that there's a lot of children that sat in front of a TV or a computer or video games and basically no interaction with their parents. Their parents don't pay any mind to them. They use these things as babysitters. Not only are they not speaking to their children, they're allowing them to take things into themselves you know, they hear and watch things that have such a negative effect on them too, on top of it. So, yeah, that's just really hit me when I saw that part of, you know, being ignored, you know. That just broke my heart when that whole scenario, that kind of thing came to me.
Well, like Joe said, just ignoring them has tremendous power, negative power. Go ahead, Pat.
One thing that I noticed there at the end, and a couple things I saw in there, but at the end there, the Lord was obviously convicting that young man of something, bringing to his awareness how he treated that that girl, or whether he was part of it. I don't remember seeing that, but anyway. And the Lord put something in his heart by way of conviction or understanding. And when he went to that girl and confessed what he had done, or his participation in the process, and asked for forgiveness, he brought that which word that God spoke in his heart and put it out into the world and impacted that girl exactly what it was meant to do. And God's word made it to that girl through mercy and a demonstration of humility, and it's like a demonstration of the impact of those words. And it just reminded me of when it's all said and done, we were created by God to interact with people. And again, when you really boil it down to the essence, we don't have anything else to contribute other than what we are and what we say and what we interject and put into people's lives, and also what we receive from them. So it's, it kind of brings me back to thinking of just the impact of our words and our life and our expression and our interface with other people, etc. So the other thing that it brought to me was our conversation earlier with Denny here, as the words that were coming out of my mouth were, I don't have, I haven't made it, I'm waiting for something to come in the future. I was speaking words to whatever degree are contributing to the problem or the circumstances, as opposed to what Denny was saying, that no, I may feel that I don't have something, but what I do have is a word from God that, whether I feel it or not, I was crucified. My old man, that old stony heart of mine, was taken away. Whether I understand it, perceive it, feel it, God said it was done. Therefore, I'm required to simply reckon myself that it was done and believe it. So in that sense, I kind of acknowledge what I myself was, what I was doing, and obviously have to reflect upon that myself now. But it's just interesting. That's a very good video. I enjoyed that.
Amen. Amen. That was a good one. Yeah, Willie.
One of the things that got me from that video is when that gentleman said, you know, we are a piece of God. And that's one of the things, you know, I've always struggled with. I've never felt like a piece of God. I felt like, I feel like a piece of something trying to be used by God. You know, I've never really felt like a piece of God. Like, you know, I don't know where I got that behavior or thought or feeling or wherever it came from. I've always struggled with feeling like I'm a piece of God. For me, the idea of being a piece of God is being, I've always heard, oh, you got to be used by God. And, you know, I still can't grasp that concept of being a piece of God. And I'm just confessing that. I've always just felt like a creation, you know. I hope I'm trying to say it as clear as I can, you know. I don't know if anyone's ever else struggled with this, you know. I feel like a creation that has to be obedient. But I don't feel like a piece of God. That's the best way I can try to put it. I don't know. That's the best way I can put it. That's the part that really got me, you know. Because I never really sat down and faced that thought. I've always put that thought under obligation of obedience, like, have to obey, you know, have to obey. So there was something there, else there, you know, where I never really confronted that. But I've never really felt like a piece of God. I don't know if I can't remember if I have. But if anybody got anything to say on it, I just wanted to confess that, because I've dealt with that for a long time. And it's still getting past that. I don't know. I just thought I might confess that. I'm done.
Okay. Hang on just a second. I want to get this scripture up here. As to what you were saying there, Willie. Yeah, I know a lot of people probably have that obedience thing, which is good. That's a good thing to have, is obedience. He says obedience is better than sacrifice. But this thing about having a piece of Jesus, we do it by faith. 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's David's favorite verse. He said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory. I'm looking in the mirror and I see the glory of God all over me. Are transformed. We're transformed into the same image. That's what somebody was talking about earlier. We're the nature, character, and authority of God, the name. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're just like Christ. We stand in his stead. We look at the mirrors in the morning. We go out and say, that's Jesus. I'm going out. Jesus is with me. He's in me. The Holy Spirit is guiding me, glory to God, and I can't be beat. because I have all the blessings of heaven behind me, up above me, in me, around me, and all of that. That's the way we have to, and it's all by faith and believing what the Word of God says. Obedience is good. That's one of the great things that we have is obedience. When you do that, God loves you. But we also have to have faith to believe that He's doing it in us too. We are walking, talking Jesus. He wants us to walk in the same steps of Jesus. And if we do that, we're walking in His steps. And we're all sons of God. That's what Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about. Don't you remember? I'm a son of God. All of you are sons of God if you're obeying the scripture. Go ahead, Joe.
Now, I'd have to say I do agree with you, Willie. And I want to kind of piggyback off what you said, Missy. It kind of goes together with what I've experienced in my life. You know, I mean, I've been very open about what I've come from, and thank God that he's brought me through so much. But I can relate to an extent some of my struggles with that, Willie. It's like I don't feel like a piece of God. And going off my feelings a lot of times, but I'm like you said, it's all by faith, Michael. But I think with what you said, Missy, it's like with the video games and stuff. I mean, at a certain point in my life, that was my life. I remember sitting and like spent hours upon hours in front of the TV and video games. There was a certain point, and I don't know if that's where I can kind of look back where the abuse started. And then, I would find, spending a lot of times, but then I had to thank you, from what you said, it just kind of dawned on me, Willie, thinking, well, wait a minute, I could see how, before I came into the kingdom, God was protecting me. I mean, because I was just, I wasn't a believer. I grew up Roman Catholic. And, there was no loving parents there in the household to monitor what I was watching on TV. And then eventually we got internet, the internet years later when it came out. So pornography and different stuff like that was a big thing. But I think as a kid with video games, and even at school when I was hanging around certain people, I always remembered, I would kind of go only so far, and then I'd get this feeling like, well, maybe I shouldn't hang around that person. They seem a little too negative, a little too dark. There's something about them that just doesn't sit well with me. So I would find myself backing off like, okay, yeah, that person's a bad influence. I don't want to hang around them, but then again, the people I was around were a bad influence, but I thought, that person's a worse influence. I'm not going to hang around them. Or like a video game or watch it on TV, I might come in contact with something that's just like so evil. And I thought, no, that's just too much for me. I'm not going down that route. So yeah, it was God protecting me. Like, okay, yeah, I can't stop you. I'm not going to stop you from viewing all this stuff, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you, because I don't know if you've ever had any instances like that you can remember, Willie, way back there, but it's like God protecting us. Like, oh, hold up. This is mine. This is one of my children. He's not in the kingdom yet, but I got to protect him. I don't want the enemy to get too much of a hold of him. And, down the line, I look at it now and I look at the struggles I have from where I was, so this thing with the tongue, it's just been, continual. It's like years upon years of just, not thinking anything of it. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a stronghold in your life. So yeah, it's going to be quite a battle. But yeah, I look at that and, it kind of dawned on me, wait a minute. Yeah, I am a part of God. I was all along one of His, because I saw Him protecting me. He let me only go so far, and that was Him saying, okay, back off. Don't get involved with this. Don't get involved with that person, or don't watch this on TV, or don't play this video game, or don't view this online. This is going to really hurt you. So I said, okay, good. Having no idea that I was being obedient, but just thinking, okay, yeah, that's a good idea, whatever it was. So, yeah. So.
Go ahead, Tim. Thank you, Joe.
Yeah, for me, that video was very convicting. My past, before I came to know the Lord, I was a bitter, angry, heavy drinking, resentful, non-God-knowing man. And I vented a lot of rage at my oldest child. And was. It's come back to haunt me, and we're still dealing with it. But boy, you know, you read that and the world gets right here in the heart, and then you see something like this, brings it all back. But you know, if I could rewind the clock and do things over, there's nothing else I'd rather do than change the way I was before I came to the Lord. So everybody believe with me that God's going to make it right with me and with my daughter. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Can I pray for you, Tim, and your family? Father, I lift up Tim and his family. And Lord, by faith, I'm going to speak this. I declare and decree that all the family is coming down here in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that there's not going to be any hiccups when they come. I thank you, Father, that there's going to be a smooth transition. And not only that, everyone, all of his family that comes down, and that's all of them, are going to love it in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for working that work in Tim's family in Jesus' name. We believe it, don't we, people? We believe that all of his family is coming down in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I do. Amen. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus.
I got a little picture of peace that I wanted to share.
Okay, go ahead, Joe.
I'm listening to some audio, New Testament, and started reading about when the angels rolled the stone away from the tomb, and then he sat on it. And then he gave the word to the people coming up that, you know, you're looking for Jesus. He's not here. And I kept digging in a little bit more to just, it almost struck me as a very peaceful, laid back attitude by that angel that just said, we've been waiting for this moment and it really worked. Jesus rose from the dead and we won. And I just, it imparted peace to me to see that angel sitting on that stone relaying the message. That was his job, was to relay the message, but he wasn't worried about nothing. And to think of what their jobs are now, they chose the right side. You know, they stayed loyal to the Lord, they loved the Lord. And I think they love us. They love this new creation that we are. We're brand new also. They've never seen anything like spirit-filled believers. They got to see Jesus model it for us. And they get to go and do the stuff and stay in the battle. But it's like the Georgia Bulldogs or Alabama against a high school or a little league team. Because it only takes one man on the field to run over 12 or 13 plus the referees. It's a done deal. We've already won. And I felt like there's such a joy in that message. And I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface of the victory and the amount of dominion that we can walk in, that every circumstance and every little coincidence that falls in our lap, that the kingdom of God in us, that river of living water flowing out of us, is dynamic, it's powerful, it drives darkness out. And we are to join in that battle with those angels and put them to work to destroy the works of the enemy. It's like slaughter time for all the works of the enemy. It's, you know, it's our job basically. And also, when the Bible says to know no man after the flesh, I'm applying that to myself also. Some of the biggest hindrances is to think I know myself, because I'm a new creation. I've got the only way I'm going to know myself is if I read what the Word says about me, because everything else in the past is nailed to the cross. And I don't even like that old guy. Some people might still hold me in some kind of regard because of my old self, and I got to talk them out of it. I got to remind them that, wait till you see what this new kid can do. So I'm excited about staying on that cross and having no confidence in the flesh. So I just had to get that out. Love y'all.
Amen. I totally agree. Praise God. No, I just, that reminds me of the story of Kenneth Hagin, you know, when he came off that bed of affliction and he was a new creature in Christ and all that stuff. And one of his old buddies that he broke into a store with one time come up to him, "Hey, Kenneth, what's going on?" And he started talking to him. "You remember that time?" Well, he said, "That wasn't me." He said, "No, you're Kenneth Hagin. Me and you went down into that store and broke in that store." He said, "That wasn't me. I don't know why you're talking to me. I didn't do that. I'm a new creature." He started talking to me. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're not that old man anymore. We're Christ walking in the flesh. Glory to God. Amen. Let me ask Dave, how's that young boy here? He's okay, isn't
he? Yeah, he's doing better. He kind of passed out, and he was out. And I went down there, and he was gone. So I got him revived a little bit, and we got him back on his back. And, I was praying in the spirit along with you guys and casting things out. And so we got him laying in his bed. Now, he's big. He's like 6'4". He's probably about 230 pounds, so he's a lot there, a weightlifter. So it took me and my other son to steady him and get him in bed. So, but he's doing better. Yeah, he's doing better. It's just, he gets, something comes on him. He just goes down. And I heard something hit the floor. And I went, "What the heck was that?" I thought maybe he was lifting weights. And I thought, well, I better go check. And there he was, himself up barely on the floor in the bathroom, He went down hard. So, but he's doing better now.
How old is he, Dave?
He's 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a senior. Senior in college, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's doing all right.
All right.
Going through him, but we're casting it off him, not receiving it,
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Thanks for the prayers.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're out of time again. Like, damn it, we just don't seem to have enough time here to get everything in. But, boy, I thought tonight was good. Maybe we'll just play that about every 6 months or so. What do you think? That's a good one. Boy, I'll tell you, makes me think a lot about what I say. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up. Oh, wait a minute. Let me ask y'all something. Do y'all want to meet on Thanksgiving? I'm going to be in Arkansas. I can probably do it, but it's going to be tight. What do y'all think? And if you want to, we'll do it.
I think last time we did Thanksgiving, not a lot of people showed up. It's up to how many people want to really be there. So if we've got a good number, we can do it. But otherwise,
we'll talk about it Tuesday night. How's that? We'll talk about it Tuesday night. Thank you, Father, for bringing that teaching to us and making us think, Lord, that our words do affect the air around us, the life around us. And teach us, Lord, to speak positive things all the time. And Lord, teach us to do like that story I heard about the guy that was a bully and he did this and he did that, and there was three guys talking to him, and this other guy that never spoke bad about nobody came up there and they asked him, "Well, what do you think about that old bully?" And he said, "Well, he's got pretty eyes." And then they just walked off, and that's the way we got to be, Lord. And I ask that you make us like that, Lord, that we don't say anything bad about anybody, that we just pray for them and go on. And we thank you, Father, for placing in us your heart and your love. And we thank you, Father, that as we go about going to our families this next week, that we would be reminded of this great film that somebody put together. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to be reminded to only speak and to think about what we say every time we open our mouth. We want to just tell everybody, oh, you're so pretty. You know, oh, I just love you. And that kind of stuff, Lord, just walking, talking oracles of God. And I thank you, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Protect us, provide for us, and place your love in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.